Today, we're joined by Zach Wilson, founding partner of Gulo Solutions, a digital agency based in Chicago. Zach, thanks so much for joining us here on the Association Marketing Show.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, I'm looking forward.
Or me. I guess there's nobody else here, is there?
Well, you, the royal we. The royal we.
Royal we.
Yeah. Super glad
James,
to have you.
Does James count?
James. James is here in the background. James
he
is,
doesn't count as a we.
He's slowly building up his presence and getting mentioned and called out on the podcast here. So,
cool. Well, I'll give him credit. We're rock fellows.
Totally. Well, thanks for joining us. I'm really looking forward to this conversation today. I think our listeners, association marketers, are going to get a lot of out of your expertise and hearing from you. But before we get into specific talking points, as I always do, tell me a little bit about your personal and professional background, how you started Gulo, what your company does, and then we'll get into some of our planned talking points here today.
Sure. Yeah. Great question. We had a pretty interesting journey. It's been just about we're coming up on 20 years here really soon, and it was weird, to be honest with you, because the evolution of Gulo was kind of me in my 20s getting mad at some bosses and realizing I didn't like working for people and thinking I could do better. And that was the impetus for Gulo. And I reached out to my co-founder, who I went to undergrad with, and we worked together with at our university in our sort of quote unquote web department. And he was kind of in a similar boat, and we're like, let's do it. And we started out, and we started looking for work and working for clients. And lo and behold, the association world opened up to us, and those were our first clients. And we, out of the gates, the arc was we were kind of tech geeks. I was a programmer. He was a visual person. And we started really in technology and like in programming and trying to build applications and all this bizarre stuff, and we've evolved a lot and grown a lot, and now we're a web agency, and we're really focused on the marketing aspect of the web, and we specialize in marketing websites that grow organizations. That's what we do. That's what we stand by. And you know, the mantra internally for myself and the rest of Gulo is just be obsessive, obsess over details, obsess over perfection, and focus on conversions and the visitor. And what we're trying to accomplish with that customer, that end customer or that visitor, whether it's a member or a purchaser or something else. So
yeah,
that's it.
That's awesome. I mean, the website is arguably the most important asset for any organization, especially associations who tend to have complex offerings and multiple audiences visiting their site. So that can sometimes become a bit of a beast, as I'm sure you've seen quite often. I want to get into some of those details about like website structure, best practices and design, and you know, kind of typical problems you see with association sites and recommended solutions. But before we get to that,
the Association Marketing Show is brought to you by Feather, the all-in-one digital marketing toolkit built just for associations. To learn more about our tools and services, check us out at feather.co. That's FEATHR.co.
When we talked earlier as kind of a prep call for this, I was starting to ask about website, and you made this very salient point that, hey, before website tactics, really the most important thing that it informs the website, but also marketing in general for any organization, including associations, is this idea of a customer journey or a customer journey map. And this term has kind of popped up, you know, in the zeitgeist here and there over the last decade or maybe even longer. But let's talk about that first a little bit. Like, what is a customer journey or a customer journey map? And let's get into some of that and how you have helped association clients of yours build one and kind of understand that before getting into like, okay, here's what our homepage is going to look like.
Well, yeah. So that's a great question. And I'll say something that's kind of a little bit trite nowadays, but it is a reality. And the customer journey is no longer linear. It's all over the place. You've got all of these properties, and where your brand exists, where your journey, your customer's journey start. You know, it can be social, it can be Google, it can be physical. Mm-hmm. And that's where the journey starts for a customer. And what is that customer journey? I still do believe that the customer journey, despite it being nonlinear, is following this older methodology of awareness, familiarity, consideration, you know, purchase, retention. Yeah. We're still operating in this world of a funnel, yeah. But that funnel and that journey, if you will, it's like this, right? It's people popping in and out,
yeah.
Consuming through different channels. And I think the really challenging point that we encounter with organizations and is this adherence to thinking that your really your homepage is where everybody's entering your property. And there's still all of this emphasis on a homepage. And you know, through this journey and this mapping, what we try and do is we try and get people out of this, away from this traditional idea that everything is siloed, right? There's this old idea of like, okay, well, I've got events, and there's a silo of events. I've got the silo of publications. I've got this silo of editorial content.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, that's fine, but the customer journey and a good customer journey will take somebody from a starting point, an awareness starting point, and bring them in to some page on your site, but not many people are sending people to their homepage from media. Right. Like how many things do you guys click on or do you click on that sends somebody to their homepage anymore?
Yeah. If nowhere, right? If you send like a marketing email, for example, you're promoting typically a single thing, which is taking somebody to a page that's like, you know, six levels nested, you know?
Yeah. Totally. So the customer journey, you know, can start on the second level of your site or the third level of your site. And the really tactical, and if you go to a great website, I was actually on Patagonia. They do a fantastic job of this, but they're getting into all of this, you know. It's Earth Day, by the way, just FYI.
Yeah.
And they're getting into all of this, like this brand elements of like, you know, supporting the environment. And they've been doing this forever. But like, if you go to their site, all of a sudden I found myself watching movies on Patagonia.com. Like I went there to go like look at a jacket, and I like 30 minutes later, I'm like watching a movie, like a feature film movie. That then at the end of the movie took me to a campaign page for fisheries and actually like sustainable fishing to then donate to sustainable fishing. And I was like, I just thought of it, and I was like, oh my gosh, this is amazing.
Yeah.
Like, and so just to parse that out is that, you know, you go, the way that they did that, I went and reverse engineered it too. And it's like the way that really good brands are doing this are they're getting out of this silo. Mm-hmm. And you're starting somebody on their journey. But as part of that, you're defining my entry point is X. Mm-hmm. And with this entry point, I'm answering this question or trying to solve this problem for my customer.
Yeah.
Well, what else is going to be interesting that's related to this problem or this issue that then my visitor can then find interesting and related to then continue and consume more of me.
Right.
And it's this, the really great sites are the ones that are just focused on awareness and building this compelling story. Or, you know, if you're an organization and you're a member-based organization and your entire model is to, you know, create value for your members, the it's a soft sell, right? Like you've got to just focus, you've got to pull yourself away from purchase. And this is what we see happen so often, is that it's like, and we talked about this on our prep call, an organization that was like, came to us and we're like, we're doing this campaign for membership, it's like, it's going to be great, we're actually using Feather to help us do this, and we're going to just drive people to buy memberships. And it was like, no yeah. Don't do that. No, you are not going to get any membership sales by just advertising, join our organization and then buy. Mm-hmm. Like, that's just not going to work. Like you have built no trust and no familiarity or no value in order to get them into that purchase. So backing into your question is how can you tactically solve these problems? And it's building a customer journey. It's building a defined pathway and an intentional pathway throughout, you know, this is, and you're a marketer, you know, this is building campaigns that probably span 3 to 6 months that can just say awareness, 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 purchase, awareness, awareness, aware. And how do we do this is you've got to go through these exercises to plan and map this stuff out and build a customer journey map or a user journey map.
They're
synonymous to us.
Yeah.
And create a visual story with interactions to tell your visitor, to tell your customer, build that value. You're not going to get that value by just saying, hey, join our organization. We have A, B, C, and D that will really present value to you. It's like, sorry, no, that's not going to work.
Yeah, it's funny how these kind of like very established concepts are still the most important, and this is one of them. Sometimes it's called like a marketing funnel. Sometimes it's called a user journey map or a customer journey map or what have you. One of the kind of like practical ways that I'd recommend people getting started with this, because it can seem like a really big undertaking. Do we need to hire a consultant to help us get started with this? This feels like a distraction from my day-to-day job of getting these emails out or getting these ad campaigns launched or whatever.
Right.
And a simple way that I've both at Feather helped us do some of this and suggested to other marketers and organizations is to do it in the form of questions, right? So for example, if somebody knows nothing about our X product, whatever it is, say it's an event or say, you know, it's a membership plan or it's an online education program or whatever it is, somebody who's a qualified audience member for that, a qualified buyer, is in market for us, knows nothing about it, what series of questions do they need to have answered for them to come to the point of being compelled to participate or being compelled to purchase, right? And you can start with like a brainstorm of people who have experience selling to those types of customers, who are familiar with the products, people that you trust to help to build that question list. And you'll end up with a dozen or more questions like that for any product.
Mm-hmm.
you know, some of like event stuff, especially with in-person, there's like a lot of logistical questions that you need to answer, and those come to mind very quickly. But also from like a value perspective, who is this product intended for, right? That's a question that a lot of people ask. Am I the right buyer for this product? A lot of, you might just take it for granted, but a lot of your visitors coming to your site may not know whether a product is for them unless you help them identify with the product in some way. And you can do that with social proof. Right. You can do that with examples of different ways to do it. Like, how do I get started? Is like, what is this commitment like? And is, are there options, like if I need to back out in the future? Anyways, you can think of like all the different kinds of questions that people might have when they're evaluating a product. And then what is kind of like the way and the order in which we want to answer these questions, like which are higher level questions and which are lower level questions. And then what are the answers to those questions? Do we have them well articulated and documented and written out? And then where do we want to answer those questions across all of our properties? You know, on this page versus that page, in this right. email versus that email, right. you know, that kind of thing. And in that yeah. way, it's at least a very, it's a good start to starting to map out a kind of a customer journey in this way, is starting to list out the series of totally. Questions that people have around the product.
Totally. And I mean, you're doing it. You're connecting those dots, and you're making this intentional journey for these specific audiences and these specific problems, so that people can, you know, work themselves toward the purchase and the ultimate conversion. And right. you know, that's a great tactic. Another one that we see that associations have. We have not implemented any for associations yet, but we've done them for quite a few CPGs. CPGs is another a market that we actually work with, and is quiz-based information is just the conversion on quiz-based information, and the information, the data intelligence that you get from this stuff is. It's amazing. It's amazing. I mean, we had this one quiz. It was for a product. It was, I think it was like four questions or something like that, four or five questions. We had a 98% completion ratio for anyone that started the quiz.
Yeah.
So 98, this was just embedded to the website. But the thing is with the quiz and part of, you know, this question and answer tactic is you're dangling the carrot in front of the visitor and creating something of interest and then hitting them over the head with the value at the end. So at the end of the quiz, and this is easy for CPGs because at the end of the quiz, it's okay, well, you're the perfect customer for this product because gotcha. Of these answers.
Right.
Right. So
yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's, I like that idea. I like that idea.
Yeah.
Associations, yeah. especially depending on like how long they've been around and how big they are, have a lot of products, right? And that's sometimes a communication and marketing issue that I hear. It's like,
totally.
I have too many things to communicate with my audience about, and I'm not exactly sure who to communicate with about totally. Each thing at what time. And you can give your users and your audience some ability to self-direct that in the form of a quiz, which is like right. asking them about, you know, how long they've been in the industry, what their main pain points are as a professional in that industry, for example, and then suggesting a series of information products or events or other kinds of things to them based upon their answers. I love that as right. as an idea.
You could even do it with, as sort of like an awareness thing, you campaign. I'm just spitballing here too, but you could also do it, you know, for content. You could, you know, you could present like some of the organizations we work with. They have a lot of different audiences, right? It can be like a scientific one, for example, is like, you know, that they'll work with students, industry professionals, professors,
yeah,
and even the general public. So, you know, you there might be a way to profile a visitor and then just send them to, okay, well, we think this content's going to be great for you. And then, you know, then get them into this bucket for just push email or something like mm-hmm. that, right? Like, oh, you're really interested in A. Well, we'll send you one of these articles, yeah. highly valuable articles a month. Well, you're interested in B, and we'll yeah. do that. And you're segmenting anonymous visitors on your website. Yeah. So you've got James, who's really into guitar, yeah. and so we'll send him monthly guitar emails. And Zach's really into bass, so we'll send yeah. him bass emails. And it's like yeah. this. And all you've got to do with the technology today, this is such an inexpensive thing to do. Yep. And I just want to talk about that for one quick second, because if we see this all the time with marketers, and it's like just trying to create these solutions. And this is really, really common in the association world too, that are so complex and so tightly integrated and so expensive. And it's just like, no, like, do you know, there are so many products out there that you can get that will solve this problem that will cost you like $50 a month. Mm-hmm. You don't have to go out and spend $20,000 on this like tightly integrated MarTech stack solution
and get board approval
12 months to like integrate it. Yeah. Like, there's a plugin for your website that will probably do this, or there's a SaaS solution
yeah.
that can do this. And the right, like this, a savvy marketer can help you like go to the marketplace and just find those solutions to, you know, weave them into your customer journey. And it's kind of interesting because, and you know, this is, I'm a services person. What do like, right? Like, what do we sell? We sell services. And what's the value in our services? And we have this problem in our offering, but it's like, well, how can you, the organization, and Gulo create a relationship or a partnership that where you can lean on us to just be insightful, savvy marketers and help you with some of these solutions? And it's really interesting because there's people just struggle with this all the time. And there's just like, well, instead of retaining you or working with you, we're going to go out and spend, you know, tens of thousands of dollars on this MarTech solution, but then we're not going to have anyone that knows even how to use it. It's a sort of like pandemic yeah. issue that we come across with a lot of people, and it's kind of interesting.
Yeah, it's funny how much
from
like
the problem solving perspective.
Yeah,
sorry, go ahead.
No, I was gonna say, even for us, you know, we're a technology provider, but we make this point all the time to people who are considering purchasing our software. Is like, hey, just getting the software is not the win. You know, it's getting it and then like using it strategically and having somebody
right.
who's committed to doing that for you.
Right.
And so,
right.
kind of like as a precondition for success, it's like there has to be some expertise available and some buy-in, you know, whether that's internal staff or you have some support from externally. That's equally as important, if not more important, than having the right tools in place. And
right.
yeah, this, I want to spend some time, since this is like such a depth of expertise that you have around websites themselves, right? And I go to all kinds of association websites all the time, either because people like request a demo of our software on our site, I get a notification, I click through to see, you know, the domain of their site just to take a look out of curiosity or whatever reason. I'm on association websites all the time. And if I had to ascribe one word to most association websites that I see, and this is not a dig at associations, but I would say it's confused, or maybe confusion.
Yep.
And that's, I'm obviously not in the target market for a lot of associations, right? I'm not a nutrition professional or you know, a healthcare professional or a security professional or a lot of, you know. That being said, That is kind of the impression that I get overall. So what are some of the common problems that you see with websites, period, but with association websites, from like a structure and a design standpoint? And then on the flip side of that, what, in your opinion and in your experience, makes a really strong website? And if an association marketer here is listening and has some control and influence over their website, what are some kind of like typically quick wins or ideas that they can consider to improve the performance of their website as a tool, you know, for their organization?
Yeah, great question. So the tips, the recommended tips, I guess, that you could probably implement your site in most organizations are scannable copy.
Hmm.
This is number one thing we see with on the other side, like way too much copy, way too much. Unless you're writing an editorial piece,
yeah,
that, or a research piece, like there should be maybe like 100 to 200 words on the page. Like if you're writing a landing page that is designed to inform someone about a service or your organization, it needs to be copy light. And it's all the time. So we'll, like, just as an example, you know, we'll set up this framework for an interior landing page. Remember, it's maybe it's like a membership page or something like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, we create this sort of framework for copy, and, you know, if we're not hired to do the copywriting, then we'll say, okay, well, your headline should be of this page should be 3 to 4 words, your subheading should be one sentence, you know, 7 to 10 words or something like that.
Yeah.
And like and the bureaucracy and the buy-in to get things
that
tightly written and well written is just remarkable. Oh, well, you know, this department needs to say this and this department needs to say that, and so we got to have 3 sentences up here instead of one. It's like, okay, well, nobody's reading this now because it's not skimmable.
Right.
Like you've just taken your entire value and whatever you're trying to say and made it zero because there's too many words.
Yeah.
And, you know, we track a lot of this from the data side in terms of like scroll behavior, scroll depth, time spent on different sections of a site.
Yeah.
And you can see the behaviors in terms of people where they're skimming. If I'm reading nothing, I'm going, you know, from the top of the page to the bottom of the page in a fraction of a second. If I'm skimming, it's going to take me for a decent landing page, it's going to take me about 8 to 12 seconds to skim that page.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
That's it. I need to take one little thing away from that page. So the recommendation is go to your Google Analytics, find your landing pages or your high impact pages that are not editorial.
Right. Key conversion pages. Yeah.
And what?
Key conversion pages. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
And tighten up the copy. Just make it easier for people to read and consume.
Mm-hmm.
And then for the other part of your question in terms of like the journey, and websites is, you know, a really good website are, you know, they're finding, and frankly, this is a money thing for us and for the actual client side is, you know, if you want to do your website, and this happens all the time with organizations, it's like, you know, we'll come and we've got these thousands of pages and all of this really important content. It's like, most of the times it's like, no, like what, like we need, unless it's editorial content, like you need to have probably like 10 to 15 pages on your website that are really impactful. And, you know, and the rest is publications or editorial stuff or whatever, but like, let's take your old website, which had 300 pages, and call it down to 10 to 15 pages.
Right.
That is incredibly hard for organizations to do because of this notion that you just hit on, is they're confused.
Yeah.
And this isn't a knock either. It's advice. It's figure out what you're trying to do on each page and try and accomplish one goal. And that's what we try and tell people is
each page has one goal. Identify that goal. Right.
Identify that goal. What are you, if you're trying to send one of your potential customers to a page, or I'm trying to send a customer to a page for us, it's answering a question and solving one problem. Mm-hmm. That's it.
And giving them a next step. And, right.
Yeah. And that's it. And from there, you can weave in some different marketing opportunities, whether it's like call to action panes or modals or slide outs or things like that, and try and create opportunities for additional conversion. But a membership page should talk about really high level membership value.
Yeah.
Don't give them a dissertation on your organization. Give them like two things, and maybe even further, which I've seen done, which can be really tactical, is like break out your membership. Create membership page for every single audience that you serve.
Mm-hmm.
Don't try and stuff all of those. If you've got like, you know, again, the scientific example, if you've got like five people that you're five segments that you're trying to serve as quote unquote members.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's create a membership page for every single one of them. And then going back to this user journey mapping, find the places on your site to send students to the student membership page and the researchers to the researcher membership page, because the value for a student is going to be very different from the value from a researcher.
Yeah.
And so on and so forth. So
yeah, that's a great point. I want to underline a couple of things that you said real quick, Zach, which is to the point of customer journeys. If you have multiple customers, you have multiple customer journeys, and those need to be articulated and then reflected in your website. And so maybe your homepage kind of serves as the tool that helps people quickly identify which customer journey they belong to and then navigate into that. But then that journey from that point is customized to that that type of customer, that audience member.
100%.
Yeah. And then to skimmability and scannability, this is something that I say a lot, and if others on my marketing team are listening, they will know this. But the thing that I often say is that a page visitor should be able to get the essence of the message of the page simply by reading headlines and subheads. They shouldn't have to read paragraph copy to get the story. And so like headline and subheadline copywriting, all copy is critical, but especially that copy is important. And a good rule of thumb when you're reviewing like a landing page before publishing or before like, you know, announcing it or launching your ad campaigns or email campaigns to drive traffic to it, is just read the headline and the subhead, and do you get the point? Do you get the message?
100%.
That's another tip that I often give, because let's be frank, most people are not reading body copy. They're reading headlines, maybe first and last sentences of paragraphs or something like that. But even that is a little bit much to expect these days. So the whole story should be told in the headlines and the subheads. It's another thing that I often say. And then this point of simplification and like setting yourself a limit to like your core site pages. Yeah, maybe you have a big like publication area and that has, you know, potentially hundreds of pages depending on how much you publish. But in terms of your like core site, giving yourself a page limit is a really good exercise in forcing focus, right? What do we actually care about? How do we actually want to be seen and perceived by our market? And which products are actually important and critical for us and are actually successful for us? And so not only is it a tactic for creating a better, more kind of easily digestible website, but it's also kind of like a forcing function to really focus and prioritize. And it doesn't mean you kill every other product that you have that doesn't make the cut of, you know, your dozen key pages, but it reveals your priorities, and that can that can be very, very helpful.
Yeah. And the something that so just a quick distinction on that too, which I'll put this in your ear, and I'm sure you'll notice it or not, but a big distinction too in websites that are, I don't know, let's just say lower cost versus higher cost, right? They're a website that's lower cost is gonna, you're gonna, for whatever that framework is, you're gonna see high repeatability across the site, right? From a visual perspective. So it's, they're patterns, right? So it's gonna be, you know, the same pattern across the whole website versus a higher end website or a more expensive website, the patterns change throughout these landing pages and throughout the user experience. And then to take that a step further, again, the Patagonia example, which is the really good websites are the ones, going back to this user journey mapping, are the ones that have that very unique experience from key marketing campaign to key marketing campaign or section to section. And then they find this way to weave these things together so that as you go into this entry point, you're just naturally or compelled to, again, continue your journey to something that's very related, very interesting, and very compelling. And the reality of that is, and you alluded to this earlier, it takes time, which takes money. And there's this, and I'm guilty of it too within our organization, and I'm not going to put words in your mouth, but I bet you are too, which is, let's get this done quickly. And we need to get this out because there's some sort of fire or there's something you need to do. But the more thought and planning that you're putting behind, you know, these campaigns or these specific user journeys, the more tailored there are, the more likely they are to be impactful and actually convert. And that's what we're trying to do, is we're trying to ultimately create a unique path to conversion and accomplish something. And I learned this just a handful of years ago. I was at a some sort of breakfast thing where
there were people in food.
But the I went because at the time it was the chief marketer of Thermos, and she's actually now in the association world and the CMO at an association. And she gave me this great piece of advice, and I try and tell everybody this, is if you're a marketer and you're working on a campaign or you're working on something, so your team or whatever, what is my goal, number one, of this campaign or of this thing? Number one, what's my goal? And number two, how am I going to measure this goal? And for you or your team or any marketer, and whether it's like marketing specialists or reporting to a director of marketing or whatever, but that sort of stack of marketing people, whether or you even have to report to your CEO or your executive director, try and find fewer than five things to measure and report on. Whatever it is, whether what is your, if your objective is, if your executive director comes to you and says, hey, James, I want you to go out and I want more email addresses. Okay. Well, there's our goal. Get more email addresses. And now find, you probably only need to find two or three KPIs to measure and to report to your executive director in terms of how you got to that. Forget about all, you know, we have all of this data and all, there's just mounds and mounds of data out there, but it's the problem. I think some of the problems that I see is like worrying about all this stuff that doesn't matter. Why do page views matter for a campaign? They don't matter. It matters on like what somebody clicked on and how they got to that conversion or your sort of like conversion ratio. So the takeaway and my recommendation for anybody listening to this is find one or two KPIs for every campaign and report on those KPIs and figure out how those KPIs will actually achieve your goal.
Yeah.
And that will make you a better marketer right out of the gates.
Yeah, totally.
In my opinion.
I agree. And to this point of like customer journeys, we're finding ways to connect back to that. A lot of times that reveals your measurement framework, right? If the customer journey for a certain, again, for a certain type of customer, say it's students, right? And you have like a student population that is a key target customer for you. Then what's their customer journey? How is that reflected in your website? What are the key conversion points along the way? And how do I track and measure that on a regular basis? And also to the point of keeping it simple, if you keep it simple like this, then it's not such a bear to measure. I think one of the big obstacles to like more, investment in analytics and in measurement that I see is that people don't know where to start, or there's so much data and so many pages on a website that it's really, really difficult to start tracking and analyzing and there's just too much. But if you have a clearly defined customer journeys, a simple website that is built based upon that journey that you've defined, then the measurement framework kind of becomes apparent relatively simply. And then you also set yourself up to be able to iterate on and improve that over time. If the customer journey for a student is reflected in these 8 pages on my website, then that's a manageable number of pages to measure and then to optimize and improve over time.
Right.
But if the journey is spread out all over the place and I haven't built my website in such a way that is meant to take a certain type of customer through a certain experience and through a certain set of information, then that measurement becomes really, really difficult. And so the customer journey map can be the starting point for the website and should be. I think that's the point that we're making, which then becomes the simple beginnings of a measurement framework, of a simple measurement framework that you can measure and you can use to iterate on pages over time and iterate on performance over time.
I agree more, and I couldn't agree more. And the thing that this sort of nuance language that I use, that the goal of it is to try and help people keep it simple.
Yeah.
Is instead of being like focused on your whole, and you just said this, and I'm just going to interject the word, and marketers love this word, is focus on a campaign. So take your example of the student and your student's customer journey and, you know, how you're going to get the student through that journey and measure those things.
Yeah.
But abstract that out and keep it simple. Just focus on that as one single goal, one single reporting element, and one single campaign, so that you can have all of these questions, quizzes, user journey that's totally non-linear outside of this, and mapping to this point of the student's current journey. So
yeah,
you can look at this as just like, instead of looking at, you know, the whole website and the performance of the whole website, who cares? Who cares how the whole website is performing? Look at just how people are performing through these pieces of media or content that bring our audience or our specific student into this pathway. Because it's like, again, the example of the homepage, it's like, I mean, it's a great catch-all, but you know, the homepage needs to be de-emphasized in a major, major way in terms of its importance to people's sites. But anyway.
Yeah. Well said. Cool. Well, Zach, thank you so much for the time. I want to wrap up with one kind of quick closing question for you. And I've asked this to other guests also. But at this stage in your career, What do you wish you could go back in time and tell yourself when you were just getting started? Anything kind of come to mind?
Oh my gosh, yes. So I alluded to this at the beginning, and I was a computer science by trade, and you know, that was my pathway. That was where I started. That was where Gulo started. Was, you know, as a software and technical company. Hmm. And if I could tell my 20-something-year-old self anything, it would be that technology does not matter. Focus on marketing. That's what I would say. Yep. And if I think if I would have done that, it would have been a very different journey. But marketing matters, and focus on marketing as a business owner and as just a younger person.
Mm. Well, I obviously cannot disagree with that. So very well said. Zach, thanks so much for the time and for joining here today. It's been really fun to talk about this. I haven't really talked about customer journeys or website design and website as like such a key asset for organizations with anyone else to this point. It's come up a little bit, but I've really enjoyed having the time to go deep with that with you here today.
Yeah, I enjoyed it a lot. And I think to the audience's detriment, we could probably talk about this a lot more.
Yeah. Yeah.
but I agree. We stumbled on some great things and some wonderful conversation, and I enjoyed the time too. Thank you very much for having us.
You're so welcome.
Again, us, James. I'm giving James credit.
James, thanks for joining too.
James.
All right. That's episode 11 of the Association Marketing Show, I believe. And thanks for listening, everybody, and we'll see you on the next one.
Thanks so much again to Zach for joining the podcast today. If you'd like to get in touch with Zach, you can find him on LinkedIn by searching Zachary Wilson. And if you'd like to learn more about the services Gulo offers, go to gulosolutions.com. That's GULOsolutions.com.